and welcome to this first episode of Transit Research Today, the official podcast of the Transit Cooperative Research Program, TCRP. My name is Mariela Garcia Kohlberg. I'm a senior program officer at TCRP, and today we have a great program for you. But first, a little about TCRP. The Transit Cooperative Research Program is managed by the Transportation Research Board, sponsored by the Federal Transit Administration, and works in partnership with the American Public Transportation Association. It is an applied research program that develops near-term practical solutions to problems facing public transportation. We do that by conducting research and publishing reports. Today, you will hear about one of those reports. We're going to discuss TCRP Synthesis 148, Business Models for Mobile Fare Apps. I have two guests with me, Candace Brickwood, Assistant Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, and Tonya Anderson, Senior Product Manager of Electronic Fare Operations at the RTD in Denver. I consider these two ladies friends and also experts on public transit fare collection systems and new payment technology. And I'm looking forward to today's conversation. Candace and Tonya, I'm so happy to have you both with me here today. Candace, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Mariela. My name is Candace Brakewood, and as Mariela already said, I'm a faculty member at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. At the University of Tennessee, most of my teaching and research focuses on public transit, and my specific area of expertise is fare policy and technology. I'd also like to note that I'm really active in the Transportation Research Board, and I'm actually chair of TRB's Standing Committee on Public Transportation Fare Policy and Marketing. So I'm very involved in all things fare policy. For today's podcast, I'm here to discuss the TCRP synthesis number 148 that was published last spring in 2020. I was the lead and only author of this synthesis. So thanks so much for having me here today.
You're welcome. Tonya, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm really happy to be here too. I'm a product operations manager at RTD Denver, head of the Electronic Fare Operations Department. And in this role, I'm responsible for the strategy, the launch, and operations of our digital fare collection systems. We have two in Denver. We have a card-based smart card system and a mobile ticketing app.
Great. Thank you so much for participating on this podcast. Again, we're going to focus on Synthesis 148, but also hopefully we can discuss a little of the future of the new payment technology. Candace, for those people that do not know, could you tell us first what a TCRP synthesis is?
Sure. So a TCRP synthesis, I consider it to be a state of the practice report on a topic of interest to the transit industry. So when writing a TCRP synthesis, there's usually a consultant or contractor involved, such as myself. And then there's also a panel of industry experts that helps work with TRB staff and really guide the research throughout the process. What we typically do when we're writing a synthesis is conduct research by actually talking with transit providers. So for example, we conduct surveys of transit agencies or do interviews of transit agency staff. So specific to the TCRP synthesis number 148, I actually did both of these methods and conducted an online survey of many transit operators in the US and Canada, and also did telephone interviews with six different transit agencies that were selected that have different approaches to mobile fare payment apps. So that's a brief overview of the synthesis program and research process.
Excellent. Let's dig into what you discovered then. What was the definition of mobile fare app that was used in the report?
Sure. So yeah, it's always good to start with basic definitions. So when we say mobile fare payment app, which is also often referred to as a mobile ticketing app, that refers to a software application on a smartphone or other portable electronic device like a tablet. And this allows transit riders to pay for and access transit services. So as you may know, typically these software applications are downloaded onto the user's device from Google Play for Android devices or the Apple App Store for iOS devices.
Okay. Tonya, can you tell us a little bit about how the RTD mobile fare payment app works, what it looks like and how it works maybe?
Sure, absolutely. So our mobile app is called RTD Mobile Tickets. It's simple, it's intuitive, and we intentionally named it the RTD mobile tickets app because we wanted to make sure that our customers could easily find the app. The app is available for download in both Android and Apple iOS. The way the app works is that our customers purchase mobile tickets using a credit card or some other form of payment that they add to the app. After downloading the app, adding their credit card payment or payment method, they purchase a ticket, and these tickets are available for use on both our bus and rail service. These mobile tickets are visually validated, which means that the customer taps the ticket to activate it, and it's a big green button, so it's really easy for the customer to see and know that they need to tap that button to activate the ticket. And then the app displays a QR code. It's like a barcode, but it's a square rather than a long rectangular barcode. And what's special about these QR codes is that they're dynamic, and so they change. In our app, it changes for about every 10 seconds or so for security and to prevent fraud. Our app also has colors and motion to help prevent fraud. So when a customer activates the ticket, they'll see a color code or a bar across the top of the ticket, and this color changes over time. Usually in about a day or so, that color will change from a pink or to a blue. And what that does is it allows the bus operators who see the ticket to know that it is a valid RTD ticket.
Good, that's great. I actually was able to do the RTD app when I went to Denver, so I have experienced that. Candace, why do transit agencies deploy fare apps, and what are the benefits of mobile fare payment apps?
Great question. This is actually something we asked during our research process for the TCRP synthesis. And when we were surveying transit agencies in North America, the survey results actually contained responses from over 60 transit agencies. And they said three most common reasons for why they deploy apps and what the benefits are. So reason number one, most common, was just improving the customer experience. So transit providers want to make it easier for riders to get a ticket. You know, they want it to be right in the palm of the rider's hand. No need to go wait in line at a ticket vending machine or ticket office. The second most common reason on the survey was to reduce cash handling. As you know, modern day riders, many of them don't want to carry cash, and particularly young transit riders don't have cash on them at all. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, it's easier from the perspective of the transit agency. They're in the business of providing buses and train service, they don't want to be in the business of collecting and processing large amounts of cash. And last, the third most common reason and benefit was to reduce the overall cost of fare collection from the agency perspective. So they don't, again, want to be processing all this cash on the back end. They want to keep the cost of collecting fares low. And the last thing I'll note is some other agencies noted other benefits of launching mobile fare payment apps. So they included things like decreasing the boarding time of people at vehicles or the dwell time, and potentially even increasing ridership. So a number of benefits that we're seeing as these apps are becoming widely used.
Good. Okay, Tonya, so what were the reasons RTD deploy your mobile fare payment app?
So the survey results that Candace just went through is pretty spot on. Those are the main reasons why RTD Denver decided to launch a mobile ticketing app. We wanted to provide a convenient way for our customers to buy transit tickets. We were also looking at the industry. We noticed that many other transit agencies were launching mobile apps, and they were sharing their success stories at APTA conferences. And our former general manager, Dave Genova, attended one of these conferences and was hearing all the great stories about transit agencies providing this convenience, reducing cash handling, for instance, by deploying a mobile app. And so he returned from the conference and said, "All right, RTD, we're going to launch a mobile app as well." Our customer service surveys that we conduct annually or every couple of years also showed that over 70% of our customers owned a mobile phone. So it seemed very natural and a good time for RTD to offer this mobile channel. Lastly, specifically for RTD, our current card-based fare collection system is antiquated. It was great when we first launched it a few years ago, but as time progressed, we were challenged to maintain the technology of this card-based system, and it fell behind. And it really failed to deliver an exceptional experience for our customers. And we were looking for another channel that would offer the convenience and believe that the mobile channel and a mobile app would do that for us.
Okay. So Candace, when you were doing the synthesis, you identified five different business models for fair apps. Can you briefly explain what they are?
Sure. So in the research, which I should note was conducted in 2019, so that's about 2 years ago, but this is a really rapidly evolving and changing area, I identified five different approaches. And this included different ways to do the technology, the contracts, et cetera. So let me briefly run through them. The first is what I call a shared app model. So in a shared app model, multiple transit agencies in different regions across the country are using the same mobile fare payment app provided by a single vendor that they've contracted with. And so when you're a rider, you would download this app. The most common vendor is called Token Transit. And then you would simply set the settings to where you are, so which city or agency you're riding. And it works the same in pretty much all these cities. I should note this model is really quick to implement. It's low in cost, and it can actually be configured and deployed in a matter of days. And this is what we would commonly refer to as a software as a service model, where agencies are paying on usually as a percent of their ticket sales on an ongoing basis. The last thing I'll note about this model is the validation process. So as we briefly talked about with the RTD experience is that this is typically validated visually, where the rider would simply show their smartphone with the activated ticket to the, let's say, bus operator or inspection staff. So that's model number one. Model number two is similar, but a little different. And so I refer to model number two as a white label app. And this term white label is a generic term, and it refers to something that has been developed or created by a company and then rebranded to look as if it were made, in this case, by the transit agency. So in this case, for a white label app, you would hire a company that already has an app, and then you would rebrand it, usually configure some settings, such as for the specific fare types, some agency branding. And this can be done quite quickly, often in a matter of weeks or months, and then usually deployed as a standalone system, commonly, again, relying on this visual inspection for validation. And so the example in the report, in the synthesis report of this, is Denver's RTD, is the case example that we dive into the details on, and Tanya's going to tell us more about as we go through this podcast. The third model is similar. It's also a white label app, but it has the addition of some validation hardware. So in this case, there would typically be some sort of reader, let's say installed on transit vehicles, where the transit rider would then perhaps scan a QR code or have some other way to validate their ticket by scanning it at a reader. Usually in this model, there's an additional vendor beyond just the app developer. And often, because we're now starting to deal with hardware, the costs are a little bit higher, and often the deployment timelines are a little bit longer. The fourth model is quite different, and this is what I refer to as an open payment app. And so open payment systems, this is a term that we are increasingly using in the transit industry, and it's a fare payment system that can accept third-party payment media, such as contactless credit cards. It relies on open industry interface standards and specifications. So if an agency deploys an open payment system, one component of this is increasingly an app to accompany it. So a rider would still download an app, and then they could use this with a transit account that could be loaded into what we call a mobile wallet. So a mobile wallet are things like Apple Pay or Google Pay. And so there would be a virtual transit card, if you will, where the rider can make purchases. And there are different ways that this can be validated. One way is using near-field communication technology. That's that tap technology on increasingly on new phones. And so you tap your phone at the reader. An example of this that we talk about in the synthesis is the Chicago Transit Authority.
Candace, before you say the fifth one, let me pause you for a second. Let's take a moment for a short break, and then we can continue our conversation.
Research problem statements are being accepted for the Transit Cooperative Research Program between now and June 18th. Each year, TCRP solicits problem statements identifying the research needs of the public transit industry. Learn more and submit a problem statement at www.trb.org/TCRP.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Transit Research Today. Again, I'm Mariela Garcia Kohlberg, and I'm joined by Candace Brickwood from the University of Tennessee in Knoxville and Tonya Anderson from the RTD in Denver. Candace, do you want to continue explaining the fifth business model?
Sure. So as I was saying, in TCRP Synthesis 148, I identified five different approaches and business models for deploying mobile fare payment apps. And the fifth one is what I refer to as an SDK-only approach. An SDK is an abbreviation that stands for Software Development Kit. It's a technical term that refers to a set of tools, libraries, code samples that allow software developers to create apps. And typically, SDKs contain one or more APIs. So we're getting into the alphabet soup of app programming here, but APIs are application programming interfaces. And so in this SDK-only approach, a transit agency would typically hire a vendor. Usually it's these mobile fare payment app vendors, and they have an SDK that can then be integrated into other smartphone apps. So apps such as real-time information apps or ride sourcing, ride share apps like Uber or Lyft. And this model is typically relatively low in cost and can be done relatively quickly. But I should note that a validation process does typically rely on this visual inspection by drivers where the rider shows the app to the operator or inspector, as with some of the other models we've discussed. The last thing I'll note is the example that we talked about in detail in the synthesis report is a small transit agency from Canada, St. Catharines Transit Commission, which was one of the first agencies to use this SDK approach. So that's the five models, which, as you can see, had different technologies, different costs, different timeframes, et cetera, that was associated with each.
Thank you so much. Tonya, tell us a little bit again about the business model that RTD follows.
So at RTD, we actually follow two business models. We follow the white label app model, which is our primary model, and a little bit of the SDK model. So we first launched with a white label app. This app is branded with the RTD logo, color scheme. We're able to configure the app to speak in our brand's voice. So although the RTD mobile tickets app wasn't developed by an in-house development team at RTD, we have a third-party vendor who developed the app for us and releases and maintains it for us. It is, for all intents and purposes, our app. We did actually, prior to deciding to move to the white label app, we had looked at some of the shared apps, but we found that with the shared apps, we needed a little bit more ability to configure the fare policy, the visual, the way the tickets are visualized in the app. We needed a little bit more control. And so that was the primary reason why, although we looked at the shared app model, we decided as our primary model to move to the white label app. The second model that we use is an SDK model. And I know in Candace, in this report, the model is described as an SDK-only model. We don't have an SDK-only model, as the example described, but we do have several third-party apps that we integrate with using an SDK from our white label app vendor. And those mobility app providers use the library and all the different code to provision our app in those third-party apps like Uber and Transit and Lyft. And those tickets look identical, regardless of which channel that we're using, whether it's the white label app or the SDK third-party apps. Our tickets are identical. They are managed identically in our back office. And so because of this simplicity of being able to integrate our tickets into these third-party apps, we decided that why not go with two models and offer even more convenience to our customers so that our brand specific and loyal customers who want to see an RTD mobile app have an option to download a white label app. But those that may want additional flexibility, they may want to be able to see other modes in the area, can use other mobility apps to purchase their RTD tickets.
That's fantastic. Anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing, that although we use both business models, The white label app is our primary model, and over 90% of all of our tickets are sold in our white label app.
Okay, that's great. So tell us, Tonya, what is the future fare payment plan for RTD that you can share with us?
For RTD, we're moving from a white label app to the white label app with validation hardware. So as I mentioned earlier, we are currently using visual validation. We went with visual validation because it was the quickest and easiest way to launch a mobile ticketing app. But we found and learned over the course of the last few years of having a visually validated mobile app that there's a lot of data that we're missing out on. And because of that, we've decided to move forward with the validation hardware. We're going to use the same white label app that we have today, our RTD mobile tickets app, but we're going to add hardware that we're procuring from a vendor to be able to read the QR codes that are being displayed in the app. And with that, we hope to be able to capture a lot more data and to be able to use that data to provide better transit services in Denver.
Okay, so a question for the both of you. What does the future of fare payment look like? Candace?
Sure. So I think this is a really rapidly evolving area, and I think we're going to see just increasing uptake of mobile fare payment apps and contactless payments in general. As I already mentioned, the TCRP Synthesis 148 was primarily summarizing research, a survey, and interviews with transit agencies that was done in 2019. And as of the spring of 2019, there were already over 100 transit operators in the US and Canada that were accepting mobile fare payments. This number has likely increased substantially since then. So I think we're just going to continue to see a growth in this area. But let me also mention two other things I think it's worth watching. First is a type of fare policy that we're seeing more use now that these mobile apps are being more widely deployed. And this fare policy is called fare capping. Fare capping is when a transit agency caps the maximum amount a rider can pay in a given time period. So for example, if it's a monthly cap, riders would never pay more than the total cost of a monthly pass. And there's a really important equity argument that's accompanying this new type of fare policy in that some riders, particularly those with lower incomes, can't afford the upfront cost of, let's say, a monthly pass. Maybe it's $100 a month and you have to pay that upfront. So instead, with fare capping, they would pay per ride. And this, for a regular rider, is really important because you just tap your card, it would charge you the single ride fare. But then the back end, which is very smart in these new systems, can automatically calculate when you've hit that, let's say, $100 or whatever the monthly pass is. And this ability to do fare capping is because these mobile apps and open payment systems as well are account-based. So that means all the processing is happening in the back office, the back end, or in the cloud. And this lets transit agencies have these more sophisticated fare policies. So I think we're going to see more fare capping, which this is in practice in a number of agencies at this time. So for example, TriMet in Portland has had it for a while, and we're starting to see smaller agencies launch, like Dayton, Ohio has recently launched fare capping. I do want to mention one other thing that is related to the mobile fare payment apps, and something we need to think about also from an equity perspective, and that's the ability to load cash into one of these account-based systems. We're starting to see some agencies provide ways for transit riders to make cash payments and load cash directly into these account-based systems. Typically, this involves partnering with companies who provide retail reload networks. So, for example, at local grocery stores or local pharmacies. And this is really important for riders who don't necessarily have or want to use a credit or debit card to make mobile payments. We did have one example of this that I wrote about in TCRP Synthesis 148, and that was DART in Dallas. So the Dallas Area Rapid Transit, they had a relationship with a third-party vendor that provided them with a network of local retailers where their riders could load cash into their app. So I think that's another trend that we're going to see more agencies primarily partnering with companies that can provide retail reload network, so that riders can use these apps, get all the benefits of using these apps, the convenience, but also still have the ability to pay cash.
Great. Thank you, Candace. I'm happy to report that we have two current syntheses going on about this same issue. So it would be interesting to see what they find out. Tanya, what do you think about the future of fair payment? What does it look like for you?
Candace knocked it out of the park again. She's right. In our move from a white label app to the white label app with validation hardware, we are also looking at fare capping. We're looking at seeing how we could implement fare capping and still preserve our current fare policy. That seems to be one of the challenges is fare capping is it's much more equitable. It's something that's highly desirable by our senior leadership here at RTD. But to be able to mimic our existing fare policy with the fare capping engine that is developed by the vendor requires a little bit of fare policy changes. And so that's one of the things that we're going through right now. We're also looking at cash payments. Our current smart card system has a cash payment network at retailers. Unfortunately, a customer has to stand in the customer service line in order to get a card. So what we're hoping to do is to partner with more retailers in the Denver metro region and to make it even easier for our customers to get a card by allowing our cards to be displayed on the gift card racks that you see at the different retail locations. That's kind of the two of the things that are in flight right now at RTD that Candace has mentioned. But I believe that the future of fare payments for public transportation, as more people adopt mobile apps, as Candace mentioned, is about payment integration, payments across multiple modes. So as more transit agencies adopt the mobile app payment channel, and then these apps aggregate and include multiple mobility options like ride hailing, other on-demand shuttles, scooters, e-bikes. What I believe these transit agencies will be able to do is they will be able to seamlessly integrate payments and provide trip plannings that doesn't just include public transportation. Mariella, it's going to include, so when you're in an app and you're planning your trip, you can link all these other mobility options together and pay for everything in one transaction, which is really what I think customers really want to be able to do. They want to be able to use one single app if they choose to and not have to bounce between multiple apps on their journey. One other thing I'd like to mention that I think will be up and coming will be this concept of bundling. It's a new concept. I admit I still need to do a lot more reading about what it means to bundle public transportation fare products with other mobility options. But it's kind of like a pass that includes not just public transportation, but perhaps it includes a few scooter rides, or maybe it includes a discount to ride hailing. I believe that as more transit agencies adopt the mobile app channel and these mobility providers continue to work with public transportation, that we will be able to see potentially passes that include more than just public transportation in this bundled scheme.
Wow. Well, the future of fare payment technology is bright. I think it's now. It's going to happen soon. Well, we're out of time, but before we say goodbye, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Transit Research Today. And of course, I want to say a special thank you to Candace and Tanya for taking the time to join us. If you want more information about business models for mobile fare apps, you can find TCRP Synthesis 148 report online at trb.org/TCRP. Thanks again.